And welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to one of the ushers. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. The topic at the Bible class at 3:30 this afternoon will be, what are the deacons supposed to do? And we will be searching the scriptures for that answer. The next youth Bible study will be this coming Friday. It's July 28th at 7 p.m. at the Tomlinson's home. And if you have any questions regarding that, please see Pastor Tomlinson. You will note also an insert in your bulletin concerning the baptism, and which will be for believers at the Kong's home in Gilroy. And directions and the address and so forth are that, if you can join us for that. and this will be after the fellowship luncheon. The baptism will follow the fellowship luncheon. Our scripture reading for the... one other thing, and that is you'll find at the back of the church these flyers, and it's a seminar explaining the two-tier wall between Christianity and the Islamic faith. And it'll take place here in Morgan Hill at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And the information is on this sheet in the back of the church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 73, May Jesus Christ Be Praised. With hymn number 178, The Bible Stands.
The Bible stands at the rock, the mountain with the raging sun's tide. His face is burned with the
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 373, You May Have the Joy Bells.
Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your mighty acts in our life. And as King David said, we praise you for your excellent greatness and your great power. Father, it is a joy to know that this is your day. And the whole week there is a day in which purposely we worship you. We are saying great things about you. We are learning from you because you left us your word. And then we are sharing Christ Jesus with many as possible so that they too may be part of the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for your act of mercy in many in our church, for the McDowells. I see our brother Donald McDowell with us, and it is a great mercy upon his life and a recovery of his body. Father, for Jerry West in Costa Rica, as this man who and his wife live there, and he's very soon going to be checked out again in September in America for his difficult problems. Father, we pray that he will be found free from any disease of cancer. Lord, we say hello to the Malones on a very hot day as he drove to Las Vegas, the new home, and we already miss him and his wife Moira, and we are praying, Father, that you will lead them to a good church in the area, in the Henderson area, that they will worship you in a spirit and in truth very soon, and that they will find another family of God in that place. And Lord, I visited with one of our listeners and our extended family, and we have a great Wednesday night pray meeting together, more than 14 people in a room listening to our church. And then what a pleasure was to see Mike Cloth with much improvements about his difficulties with the legs. And Father, we pray for the healing of that foot so that he can go back to work. We thank you, Lord, for our missionaries. How wonderful it is to know that we support them, we pray for them, and we financially are behind them. For Fred and Carol Lewis, as they look upon their sickness here in America and hopefully soon can be recovered and go to a mission field. For Carl and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez and the beautiful Penalmadena in Malaga, for David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. And we thank you, Lord, that we have our brother preaching about two Sundays ago to us. For Martha Peretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in the Rehabilitation Center. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy. For the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. And for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. In a long journey this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with the race in Portland, and the coming week with the race in San Jose. And we pray for Daniel as he is the chaplain on these events. We thank you, Lord, that in every place that we can, we place a man and a woman who love you to share the love of God with others. Oh, God, we pray that that love will touch the life of many, and that our missionaries will come, like Brother Giovanni did, with great joy, knowing that God is behind all the work that they do. And Father, we pray for tonight, as missionary Dr. Dante is going to speak to us and preach to us, so that we receive the word from one of our men who is in Peru. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can have people all around teaching us and sharing the gospel, because we want people in the world to know that Jesus and Jesus alone saves. And now, Father, you have been always faithful to this church, and these people love you, and that's what they give with faithfulness. And so, Father, bless the offering and bless the giving. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 388. And we will be reading the second chapter of Proverbs, verses 1 through 7. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the scriptures. Through your word, we are aware of reality and know that without the wisdom found in your word, we would always be learning the ways of the world, but never come to a knowledge of the truth. We are grateful to know that you are the source of all truth. Help us to gain more understanding and wisdom to know you more perfectly and be conformed to the image of your Son. We thank you, Father, for having rescued us from the broad way that leads to destruction and placed us on the narrow way to eternal life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you that you have brought him and Mrs. Otero safely back here from their trip. And again, we thank you that our brother Ramil Yalde brought the message from your word last week in pastor's absence. May you bless pastor now as he delivers the great truths from your word. Give us here and all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, give us understanding so that your word becomes our guide for all that we do or say. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Okay. Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. We are on the book of Proverbs in the morning worship service. We just started three Sundays ago, and as you remember, the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs reveals a summary of practical theology. And my counseling always requests that you will read a chapter of the book of Proverbs a day. Today is the 23rd, you read the 23rd chapter. Tomorrow, 24, you read the 24th chapter. And you do this for the entire rest of your life. And you will have a remarkable counsel of practical theology from God. Chapter 1 that we taught two Sundays ago refers to the law of knowledge. To me, the entire book of Proverbs includes the basic biblical laws of life. The basic biblical laws of life. And then the first one was the law of knowledge. Remember in Proverbs 1:7, where the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Your college is not the beginning of knowledge. That's why you parents are here taking a great place in the life of your children. The first thing they need to know is God. The first thing your children need to hear is the reading of God's word from you. Then they will have knowledge. I have that privilege in my life from my grandmother and from my mother. And so when I went to university and they start talking about evolution and all of these, did not make sense to me because I have the knowledge of God first. As a matter of fact, I went to a Roman Catholic university the first 4 years for my bachelor in science. And I gave the teachers a very hard time because I have Christ in my heart and I have the Word of God in my heart, and what they were saying have nothing of scientific proof into my life. And so, parents, your first obligation and responsibility is to read the Word of God to your children. The fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's chapter 1. But here we are today after I don't know if San Diego is worse of Morgan Hill. I saw in the television yesterday on the news that Morgan Hill had for the first time in the life of recorded data 114 degrees. I preached in outside in San Diego with 104, but 114, that's quite a bit, all right? Okay, chapter 2, and you are in chapter 2 in your Bible, present another basic biblical law, and is the law of wisdom. And when I mean wisdom, means wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. There are a lot of people with tremendous knowledge, zero wisdom. Now, in psychology, we said people without common sense. And biblically, we say people without wisdom. They know, and they apply nothing of what they know, so they are without wisdom. So here is the law that God says. You heard our brother read chapter 2, and we got to go over chapter 2. And I tell you something, life is quite impossible to handle without the supernatural wisdom of God. That's why people terminate their life. That's why people do all kinds of crazy things, because they do not have the supernatural wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God to interpret life and death and eternity. Medicine do not have the answer for that. The people who study biological engineering, trying to find the beginning of life, they have no answer to that because they do not have the wisdom of God. Now, what does Proverbs 2 teaches about the wisdom of God? We're going to work on it. First, we need to understand that wisdom is a gift of God. Look in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Now, you know this, and if you have a King James or New King James Bible, that the word Lord is in capital letters, Jehovah. Jehovah. No Allah, Jehovah. All right? The Jehovah gives wisdom. In other words, the first understanding is that wisdom is a gift of God. You are a child of God. You have come to believe that between you and God now there is a breach. And that breach is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died in your place. You have become a believer by the mercy of God because you saw that in the scripture. Maybe you saw that in a pamphlet. Maybe you saw that in a book. Maybe your friend told you. You have come to believe that Jesus took your place in Calvary Cross. And now your sin nature, S-I-N, that you study in 1 John, your sin nature is gone. God have looked into you and doesn't see you any longer. He sees the life of Christ in you. Now, if that happened, now there is a next step in your life. You need to apply all the knowledge of God in your life. So God is going to again protect you by giving you His wisdom. Wisdom is not acquired in university, is not acquired in a seminary, is not acquired in any place. It is a gift of God. That's what Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says. For the Lord give wisdom. And so now I'm going to deal with that. First, God gave us wisdom. Will you move your Bible to the book of James in the back of your Bible, page 711, if you use the Bible that is in the pew. And if you are listening to me through KKNC or through the internet, you can request the Bible. Our church will send it to you free. God gives wisdom, James 1:5, page 711. Look at what the scripture says in James chapter 1 and in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives, the King James said, liberally or generously, to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If any of you lack wisdom. Now I looked and I said, wow, there are people who lack wisdom. In other words, do not have the gift of God. They lack wisdom. Who are they? Well, I tell you who they are. Who they lack wisdom. Some are senators who make decisions like wisdom. I know. Look at here. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Look at what happened to mankind. Mankind enjoyed the presence of God, the company of God, the wisdom of God, the patience of God, the love of God. He enjoyed everything until he blew it. Look at verse 6. Remember, mankind was placed in a remarkable place with one condition. Don't touch this. I know it's hard. It's hard. My grandma many times said, I go out and be back. Don't touch the cookies. And she put it very high. And they were chocolate cookies. So me and my dog touched the cookies. I know it's hard. Look at here, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleased to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruits and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And look at how the man lost wisdom. Look at verse 7. The eyes of both of them were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings of aprons. And mankind is still making aprons. The science is one of the aprons mankind use not to understand God. And now these people, look at chapter 3 again, verse 23 and 24. These people are without God. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he threw out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Mankind, by natural resources, cannot get the wisdom of God.
God is guarding that mankind cannot get the wisdom of God. That's why I enjoy reading the Bible with lawyers. We're supposed to understand the Bible. They are lawyers. They know English. And I say, what the Bible said here? Tell me. I use the book of Romans, of course, which is a book of logic. Is that right? If you study mathematics, you study Romans 2 and Romans 5. It's a book of logic. And they look on it and they come with a crazy idea what that means. And the reason I said, well, you are right. You are wrong, but you are right. You cannot get it right. I cannot get it right? No, you cannot get it right. Well, I tell you, and they go to their library and they pick up a book trying to understand this book. It's altogether the reverse. You have to get this book to understand the books in your library. It's all in the reverse. And you see, mankind born of a man and a woman, even the homosexual don't understand this. A man needs to be born of a man and a woman. He cannot understand from a man. A man cannot be born from a man. A man cannot be born from a woman. He had to be born from a marriage of a man and a woman. It's very, very difficult to understand for them. And you know why? Because they lack wisdom. They lack wisdom. They are the natural man. So what they need is not an explanation about biology. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. When they get the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, now things are different. So James 1:5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, if you are an unbeliever and you lack wisdom and you don't know what Jesus Christ really is, you can ask God. Is not God merciful? Is not God merciful? You can ask God. You maybe are an enemy of God. You maybe do not like God, but you can ask God. You can say, God, I don't understand this Jesus business. God, I do not understand being guilty of sin. You can ask God. Now, look with me in 1 Corinthians 1, 21, page 671. 671, 1 Corinthians 1, and verse 21, page 671. For, said the scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleases God through the folly of what we preach or through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. You see, it is not through the study of book of science you acquire wisdom, and not through the study of other writers and comparison that you get wisdom. It's through the believing the foolishness of the gospel. Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross. He rose again for you. That's the only thing you have to believe. That's how you get wisdom. God gave wisdom. Now, James, if you remember James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who give liberally, generously. Okay? We never as believers need to fear how often we come to God for wisdom. We never have to fear about that. The point is this. God matches the wisdom to our lack of need. If you don't have wisdom to handle your children, God will give you the wisdom to make decisions for the benefit of your children. If you don't know how to handle your work, God, if you humble yourself and you say, God, give me wisdom to handle this situation, God will give you wisdom to handle that particular situation. You know that the city wants to build here a commercial center because they will collect taxes. That's very reasonable. We are sitting in the prime property of the whole compound. And there will be hundreds of developers that want to lure you with a piece of bread to get their property so they can be on the prime property. So we pray. The deacons, we pray. And we have said, we will not make a move until God really acts. That's the wisdom of God. And we'll be one developer They will buy the property or locate us in the property and build us a brand new church. Because I have a church and God wants a church, they have to build a church. Now they told me, one developer told me, that is impossible for them. I understand it. But not for God. But not for God. See, they don't understand. And you will have to put zero penny. One developer said, do you have people with money? Ooh, money. We have money. Boy, his eyes were blinking. He said, well, you asked them to put the money. No, sir. This is my property. This is God's property. And God already put the money. Dr. McCormack had donated a great portion of the money. Our brother Cassandra had put his house at the beginning to get the property. All is paid off here. Because God paid it off through you. I'm not going to ask you another penny for a brick. I want to ask you money to buy a Bible and give away, but not for a brick. So I tell these developers, when you come out with the money, just call me. So you pray for us. Jack and I will meet on the 25th, on Tuesday. One of those crazy developers, they want to buy. All right? They want to buy here. Now, the city had no interest in building anything yet because the city is in trouble in the next. See, in the meantime, you have to do your homework. I go to the city hall. I talk to this. I talk to the other. I got all the information, all the background. I know exactly where they stand. So when I sit in the meeting, I know what's going on behind the doors. But I tell you, I did this 29 years in radio. Do it one more time. There's no problem. But you see, you need the wisdom of God. God will match your wisdom for exactly what you need. So don't be afraid to ask God. Don't be afraid to ask God. Don't ask anybody else. You don't know how to handle your husband? Well, just pray. Lord, I got a difficult husband. You marry him. So, you know, we husbands are difficult. Believe me, we are difficult. You know it. We are difficult. Women are so wonderful, but we are difficult. Now I got the vote of all the ladies in the church. You know what I mean? So you pray. You say, Lord, handle this guy. I cannot handle. And I tell you, God's going to give you the wisdom because he matched the wisdom to your need. Isn't that fantastic? It's just extraordinary. So we need to understand that wisdom is a gift of God. Wisdom is not something that you go to a library and pick a book and measure in that and write a paper. No, sir. Wisdom is a gift of God. And you and I need to humble before God and say, God, I need your understanding. All right, number two, we need to grasp the wisdom of God. See, first, we need to receive the wisdom of God. Look in Proverbs, back in Proverbs, chapter 2 and verse 1 of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. If you receive my words. You know, the word receive is the word receive. It's the word lakwak in Hebrew. It's a word who said to take, to lay hold on, to acquire, to receive. Will you receive the wisdom of God when God said, my ways are not your ways, and as the heaven is far from the earth, so is my. Do you believe that? Or you want to improve it. All right? So you need to receive the wisdom of God. That's the first grasp. You need to receive it. God, you say this in your word, I believe it. And I will do it. The Bible said, girls, do not date a boy who's an unbeliever. Boys, do not date a girl who's an unbeliever. That's what the Bible says. Remember? 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Why? Because the Bible said, what joint will have an unbeliever with an unbeliever? But pastor, please, that's what the Bible said. Do you receive that wisdom? First thing you need to receive. Second, we must retain the wisdom of God. Look at verse 1 again. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. If you treasure my command within you. You know what that means? Bible explained that. Let's go back to James again. 7-11, remember? Page 7-11. James chapter 1 and verse 22. And look at how to interpret that. Treasure the wisdom of God. What do you mean, God? Here is the explanation in James. A lot of the teachings of Proverbs are explained in James. James 1:22. But be doers of the words and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. See, you deceive yourself. You say, I believe, and you don't do what you believe. You deceive yourself. You deceive yourself. So we must retain the wisdom of God. And we retain the wisdom of God when we practice the wisdom of God. We must respect the wisdom of God. We must respect the wisdom of God. Look at it, look at in verse 2 now. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 2. You need to sharpen your ears so that you incline your ears to wisdom. The Hebrew word is sharp. You sharp your ears. You read the Bible and now you have a sensitivity of what you read. Now if you're a college student, I hope you took a class on fast reading where you sharp your eyes on verbs, adjectives and subject, and then you don't have to wait to read the whole page. You go zzz, like I do. I finish a book in a day, and then I write down on the side what I read. All right, and so you sharp your ear. You read it. Look at verse 2. Not only you sharp your ear, you must relate to wisdom, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Now you relate to wisdom. You hear it, and now you say, God, change my heart that I may do it. See, ask God for this, because you and I do not have the energies, nor the power to overcome our sin nature. But God does. If you are a believer, God does. Say, Lord, I know I hear these. Wife, love your husband. And husband, care for your wife as Christ cared for the church. The time I see it, I say, wow. You know, it's tough, don't it? You, man, and Ramil, it's tough. Yeah, yeah. You know, your wife makes demands on you. You can't do anything because as Christ cares for the church. You can call on Christ any moment. With the stupid things, yes. Oh, I say stupid, but you know, you can call Christ with anything. That he is mad of you? No. So you can, your wife can make a statement, can do something, buy something, even you like it or not, you cannot get mad because as Christ loves the church. Wow. And only I'm sweating for the lamp, but I'm sweating for what I read. You see what I mean? If we're going to practice Christianity, nobody get divorced. Nobody get divorced. And so, that's what it is. You need to relate to wisdom. Not only knowing in the head, now you need to apply it. Now, man, please vote for me. Don't get mad at me. We must request for the wisdom of God in prayer. Look at verse 3. If you cry out. Remember the sound used the word cry. Cry is a compound word in Hebrew that relates to a loud prayer. Now, I never related until in Escondido, I went to speaking at a church, 5,400 men, and there were about 9 buildings, and one of the buildings, a loud service. I just put my ear, and it was loud. I mean, there was everywhere speakers and the people jumping around and doing this until the pastor will speak, the screen will come down, and they will hear the pastor from the main auditorium. But it was a loud service. And they warn you. They warn you. Loud service. Well, look at what Christ said. Look at what the Bible said. If you cry loud for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. In other words, you need to pray. We must request the wisdom of God. We need to pray. Then we must research the wisdom of God. Look at verse 4. If you seek her as silver, you know what silver is? You think it's silver? No, silver is money. Only in this country, silver is not money. Well, after 60s, they changed. But before 60, when I came to the country, I won silver dollars because that's the money we use in my country, silver. All right? Money is equal to silver. So, look at it. If you seek her as money, now you American understand money, all right? Money, if you seek it as money, and search for her as for hidden treasures. Why do you think people change works in America? To get more money. that right? Yeah, they do. Why do you think people, some people study to get a good education so I can earn good money? Now look at what you have to do. If you seek the wisdom of God as you were seeking for money, you need to seek it. Where do I find it? Of course, it's in the Bible. You need to research that. Truth already revealed and known are often buried in our minds and need to be retraced and brought back to our life. We watch television, we hear the news, and those people are making a statement that if you hear over and over and over again, get to be your standards. So to block that on, just read the scripture. Read the scripture. Be a tiger for the scripture. That will help you. All right? So, you need to grasp the wisdom of God. You need to grasp. You know, when you're trained as a professional in any sport, the coach will tell you and tell you, and he will tell you until you grasp the idea of what he says. And when he sees you practicing what he wants, then he leaves you alone and he gives you maybe another indication. You need to grasp this. Not only just read it, put it down. You need to see that working in your life. That's what God wants. So finally, we need to know, what are the goals of wisdom? Where the wisdom will lead me? Well, first goal, verse 6, Proverbs 2, verse 6, to relate to God as a teacher. Look at verse 6. For Jehovah gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You say, well, what is Jehovah that he is speak? Do I have to do it? Well, I maybe do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Remember that he said from his mouth? Chapter 2 Timothy. In Proverbs we read in Proverbs 2, 6, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Where people will say, where is Jehovah? Do I listen to him? Here is Jehovah. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the mouth of God, the inspiration of God, the breath of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you get it? Verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so the first thing you need to do, the goal of wisdom, is to relate to God as your teacher. Make God your teacher. Is here. He has beautiful compound 66 subjects right here in this, in your hand. You can buy any translation you want to and read it and make God your teacher. What is the next goal? We must relate to God as our Savior. Look at verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Now, what is sound wisdom means? You got to go back again to 2 Timothy 1, page 701. 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 7, page 701. You need to go back over there and you will see it. For God, said Paul to Timothy, has not given us a spirit of fear, by a power of love, and what? Sound mind. You see it? So in the book of Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 7, he said he stored up sound wisdom. God has given you a sound mind. Sound mind. That's what God gave you. So what are the goals of wisdom? Number one, God is your teacher. Number two, God leads you to see God as your Savior. And then God leads you to see God as your protector. In Proverbs 2 and in verse 7 said, he is a shield to those who walk upright. Now know this. Not to those who come to church. not to those who have been baptized, not to those who carry a lapel with the text of the Bible, to those who are upright, to those who understand what God has done for their life and they walk accordingly. Now, let me give you some examples from the Bible of protection. Go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1. Here's a first example of protection from God. Here's Abraham. He moves from Iraq all the way to Palestine. And he's in a foreign country. And when you are in a foreign country, you don't trust anybody because you don't know what they're going to do to you. All right? Somebody want to sell you something. Somebody want to tell you something. And you're a foreigner, you're really suspicious of what they said. But you don't have to. Look at here. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am what? Your shield and your exceedingly great reward." I'm your shield. Yeah, people in Palestine may try to abuse you. People in Palestine may try to do things to you. But I'm your shield. I'm your shield. Don't worry about it. I'm your protector. I'm the one who blocked you out. Now, needless to say, in the book of Psalm, over and over, David claims that. Go to Psalm 33, verse 20, page 353. Psalm 33 and verse 20, page 353. And look at what David says. Psalm 33 and verse 20. "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help." And what else? "Our shield." Our soul. That's why we don't have extrema unzione in the Bible. Extrema unzione is the Latin word for saying the last confession before you die so you can get to heaven. We don't have that because God is our shield. He shields our soul. Nobody can take it. Go to Psalm 84 now. Move you a little bit the pages. Verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. And look at what the Bible says. "For the Lord," or for Jehovah God, "is a sun and shield. The Lord bestow favor and honor." And now look at this. "No good things does he withhold from those who walk," here's the word again, "upright." God is not saying, "No, I don't want to give you this. You walk upright with the Lord, and believe me, all those good things of God are yours. You don't have to." Some people say, "You are lucky." Some people said, "Boy, will you, Pastor Otero, like to be the senior pastor on the seniors people in this church?" No, I have a church. I'm not crazy to be a pastor of 5,000 people. I'm not crazy. I have a church. The Lord has provided what I needed according to my abilities. And the Lord will provide the same thing to you so that you are stable. You don't have, you know, there are people who move from here to here. There are pastors who jump from here to here. They're not stable. They don't know what they want. They want a position. You got it. You're a pastor. You got it. Whether it's one person or 2,000 people, you got it. The Lord, no good thing does he withhold from you. Now, some people say, what about the New Testament? Well, let's move to 1 Peter, almost at the end of the Bible, 1:5, page 713. 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. Talking about us, he says in 1 Peter 1:5, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to reveal in the last times." We are kept by good works? No. What the Bible says, we are kept by the power of God. Even when we are saved, good works are not a contribution to our salvation. Good works are the ability to exercise our salvation. See? It's a different story altogether. These are the works that proves our faith. But no, I don't do good works to get somewhere ahead in the kingdom of God. The Bible said we are kept by the power of God. Some people in some churches believe they can lose their salvation. Once you believe, then the Nazarene church, for example, they believe you can lose your salvation. And so the pastor makes a call every week for those who did sin, come forward to get the salvation again. Well, if they had to be saved every Sunday, then their salvation was not done by God. Because God has power to keep you to the very end. Is that right? As in Philippians 1. God will keep you to the very end of your life. So here it is. Proverbs chapter 2. The wisdom of God. The law of wisdom. I did this study and I look on it. And I go to the gym, you know. I go to the gym here in town, 24 Fitness. And as you walk in the gym, there's all kinds of products that they sell to you. You know, vitamins and all kinds of junk that they're trying to sell you. And I saw one product. They said that you can lose 10 pounds this week, you know, and so on. I need to lose 20, I guess. But I saw the product. So I asked the fellow, if I take all these bottles, how do I look after? You know? She said, I don't know. You don't know? No, I need to know how I look. Because look, I'm okay. I'm healthy. Gordito. I said, I had no problems. But they said that they guarantee you lose these pounds. What do you think I look after I taking these pills? How do you think I'm an eclectic look? What is it? She said, I don't know. So I want to know how that looks. All right? How do you look if you got the wisdom of God? Suppose that we got the wisdom of God. How do we look in our personality? You want to know? Here it is. James 3, verse 17, page 712. James 3, and verse 17, page 712. This is the way that you and I will look if we have the wisdom of God. But the wisdom that is from above, said the scripture, is first pure. No wonderful? You have no second thoughts in anybody. Pure. You know what the Bible said? Love believes all things. So people talk to you, you believe it. Pure. Then peaceful. You're not somebody looking for trouble. Peaceful. Gentle. You always open the door for your wife. Open to reason. You always sit down with your children and say, well, tell me why you want to do this or not. Tell me. Reason with me. Talking about me. Reason. Full of mercy. People do wrong to you. You don't take an account. They just smile. Like God does, don't we? Good fruits. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22, 23, 24. Remember? Where's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. Impartial. And sincere. Isn't that something? This is the way I will look if I have the wisdom of God. This is the way you will look if you have the wisdom of God. But you, if you are not a believer in Christ, you will never get this wisdom. You can cry to God for wisdom and he will never give it to you. He can give you salvation first and then the wisdom of God later. May God bless us that as we read the scripture, as we understand the scripture, finally we say, Lord, I just learned this. I'm going to practice. And when you finish practicing that, then you grab another one. I'm going to practice this one. And I'm going to practice this. And I'm going to practice this. Again, a coach will never teach you everything. He teaches you how to move your arm first, if you're a goalie. Then he teaches later on how to move your legs, little by little, until you're a complete complex. Takes a year or so of training, and then you know what to do. And so, brother, start very slowly. Read the book of Proverbs. And grab one thing is I want to practice this. Not only I know it's there, I want that in my heart. Like, for example, children. The Bible says, children, obey your parents all the time. Grab that and practice. And you will see the wisdom of God in your life. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Grab that and practice. Your wife will be crazy about you. Lord, thank you. In your Bible, not only we have the salvation of God, but we have the walk of God. Bless us, O God. With that walk, they show the world that we are wise people in the kingdom of God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Someone else they want to be baptized. I just want to read for you a text in the Bible. Why we do so? The Bible says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. So teach the nations. Make disciples of all nations. You don't baptize a baby, you baptize the disciples. Alright? A person who is an adult. So some of you maybe being baptized when they were little. They need to be baptized now that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, a Savior. Because now you're a disciple of Christ. So, is anyone else that want to be baptized? So raise your hand and I see it and I send you a letter, an indication. We don't leave you down there. We just take you up for 5 minutes. All right. Is anybody? All right. The opportunity is given. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Now, Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.